Okay, customer affiliates. So, one thing that we've done, and we didn't understand this in the very beginning, but we started using our community to find diehard site evangelists, obviously, as they naturally became evangelists, and we'd approach them about becoming our affiliates. Now it's widespread. I mean, almost every site wide evangelist we have has at some point or another been exposed to our affiliate program, but we find ones that are already passing the word on naturally, and we show them about our affiliate program, which in the beginning we've had an affiliate program. And for some of you guys that don't know what an affiliate program is, it's the ability for you to give your customers, or in this case, or just other webmasters, the opportunity to drive traffic to your site, sell your products, and when they make a sale, because of the particular tracking or the affiliate software keeps track of all this, they get commission. So all of my products, you know, we give 30% commission, if you will. And so we started offering this to our customers, which we never really considered, because before Web 2.0, it's all about webmasters. I mean, I remember when Corey Rudel first launched his affiliate program, you had to be a webmaster to be involved, because, hey, I mean, how could anybody else drive traffic, right? But nowadays with Web 2.0, everybody has a profile. Common users have blogs. People have their own YouTube accounts with millions of views. So the average person now has the ability to drive traffic, and sometimes more so than us established, you know, old school webmaster who have been around since the beginning of the millennium. So it really changes the playing field. And so when we start realizing this, we're like, wow, our regular customers can put us out there now on MySpace and on their profiles elsewhere and on YouTube. And so that's when we started approaching and just kind of advertising our affiliate program inside of our community. Now, we'll be very transparent. It is a catch-22, because now you're going to have affiliates posting banners, and it's almost like ads in the community. But they're not ads like in a sense of at the top of the page, but they might put their affiliate banner in their signature and in the form, or maybe in their buddy mailer. They might post it on another user's comment. They may say, you know, welcome to the site or something, and then put a banner, you know, every once in a while. I don't see it. It doesn't get out of hand. And so what you do have is sort of this sense of, I guess, you competing with your own affiliates, but you're really not, because it's all coming to you at the end of the day. But you might think, well, maybe that customer would have bought anyway. And then there's the other school of thought is, well, no, if that customer clicked on this particular person's link or something, maybe, you know, the person who gave them that last extra exposure was responsible via social proof, or just, hey, well, if this member is a regular member and they're promoting this product, it must be good. And then maybe they bought because of that. So that is what I will let you know up front. But we don't mind it at the end of the day, because the customers are buying. And, you know, I think I paid my highest customer affiliate probably around $2,000. So it's not like they're doing $10,000 or really stealing all of my you know, leads or anything like that, because they don't have their own website. So they're driving the traffic from the community to my sales pages, which is what I want to do anyway, but they're doing it in more of a social innocent way, because these are users talking to other users. Click on this link, and some of the savvy ones may have their affiliate ID and things like that. And, you know, and they're doing the same thing they were doing before I started announcing the affiliate program, but now there's financial interest. So it takes it up a whole nother notch, which helps the community because there's more activity going anyway. So everyone needs money, we came to realize, even when a passion is involved. But you must also keep in mind that this is not everything for potential customer affiliates, okay? This is still about their passion. At the end of the day, they're still talking music, but now it's like, wow, I can make money doing what I love? You probably heard that phrase. You mean I can make money doing what I would do anyway? I would be on this site anyway, and now I can refer other people who maybe, you know, haven't bought yet and things, and they'll search profiles. So it's a great thing for us since we've been doing it. And if you have a two-tier program, what you'll find is that they'll be signing up other people in the community. So, I mean, before our community launched, before we really started promoting this, we had about 1,500 affiliates. Now we're getting close to over 2,500 affiliates. And my affiliate manager is Brian. If you are interested in joining our affiliate program, it's at sale S-E-L-L dot hearandplay.com. And I will give you some inside scoop on it and how we train up our affiliates, because this is actually applicable outside of communities, just in building a business, because our affiliate program, even before the community, our affiliate program is responsible for 20 to 25% of our revenue. So it is very powerful to have an affiliate program and to get the right software to run an affiliate program. We use a SocTrack, A-S-S-O-C-T-R-A-C. We also use One Shopping Cart's affiliate module for our super affiliates. And, you know, we have two different softwares. There's other software out there you can find. You can use third-party services like ClickBank if you're selling info products where the affiliate's already there. There's a lot of programs out there that you can research. Those are the two that I'm familiar with. There's JV software out there that you can get more on the high end. But basically, we have a two-tier program. So if they bring in, another affiliate, and that affiliate makes a sale, they also get a commission, and it stops there. I know you're thinking, well, maybe that's multi-level marketing. No, it's not, until it gets like five levels, and then the government and the law gets involved. Two-tier programs, Amazon sort of invented that back in the 90s with their two-tier program, where you can make money off of other Amazon associates that you sign up. So that's how it works. We have regular teleseminars. I use instantteleseminar.com. I love that software. You can host live calls. People can click on a button and hear you live. You pick up the telephone, they click a button online, they can hear you. They can type in questions. You can have a button that says click here to join the affiliate program, or whatever call to action you want. And as of late, I can now play pre-recorded messages into Instant Teleseminar. So I can have an MP3 like this. I can export this as MP3, play it in there, and don't do a thing, but play it and make sure it's going, and then go eat a donut. Or I can play sound effects like crashing or something. It's cool what you can do with that. But the idea is, we use it to explain our affiliate program to other users. We also use it to train our current affiliates to make more money. And you don't really want to, if you are going to take this route, you don't want to turn your community into a business opportunity thing either, though. There's a fine line. And you don't want to sound like this is our weekly meeting, like, you know, we're meeting together for network, you know, marketing kind of events. It's not like that. It's really a customer referral program. And you want to kind of keep it that way, almost like, you know, get paid to refer others to the site. Aren't you? Don't you want to grow the site anyway? Well, now you kind of get paid to do it. Train them. I'm going to let you see our training center. Here we are at sale.hearandplay.com. You know, we give them success stories. They can start as a sales page to explain the program. A few of our other affiliates, frequently asked questions. So they all get to this page eventually if they're interested in the program. But this is where they log in. They get a message from me introducing my affiliate manager, Brian. All the products on the left side, so they can easily, and I'll show you how easy it is. They can go to, you know, banners for our 300-page course, for example. They can get product overview, email promotions, text links, banner ads, pop-ups. Now, that's more for a webmaster, but the banner ads, the text links, the email promos are all good for them. And not only you'll find what they'll really be doing is promoting you elsewhere. I mean, really, it's a few of the whole pack that actually put it in their signature, and some, you know, catch on. But the bulk of it, as you'll see, is in MySpace and other sites where they'll put it all over their MySpace pages. And these are community members doing this because now they have the power. They have the power to drive traffic. Web 2.0. So we can click like on banner ads. And, you know, banner number one, all they got to do is take this code, put it on their page. Take this code, put it on their page. You know, tons of other banners just for that one product. Okay? If they click on, you know, Gospel Keys 300, it has banner ads. It has promos. You know, it has, you know, all kinds of things. And you'll see these all over the community, all over MySpace. Newsletters, we keep an archive of newsletters relating to all the different products so they can click and get promos related to that product. Success stories, we keep all of our affiliate success stories here. Tutorials, we have audio tutorials where we train them on. We have video tutorials that my affiliate manager does. We have me on stage. So it's a lot of training involved. The idea of an affiliate program has two purposes. Number one, to be recruiting new affiliates. However, you have to do that. You know, looking them up at whois.com, getting your customers to become affiliates like we're talking about now. you know, calling up on the phone. And then the other half of it is training existing affiliate members. Okay. So if you get too tied up with training and you're not recruiting new ones, where you're not getting that fresh, you know, insurgents of people in to help you. And if you're getting a bunch of fresh people, but then other people are falling by the wayside. So there is a delicate balance there as well. And we make sure we keep up with both. You know, our affiliate resource center has been called one of the best by, you know, some of my friends. So study it there. That's the route you take when you're training your affiliates. And if you train them right, and if you give them the right tools, you should see your tools, you know, out there. I find that customers who share our site for free really become next level site evangelists when they have financial interest. So they're already doing it. Now when they get interested, wow, it's like, wow, I'm doing the same thing. And then they start seeing how much they can make. Oh man, don't let me pay them $100. Oh, it's over. Then they get $200. Then it's like, oh, it's addictive. Now I had one girl go from $50 a month to $900, you know, $1,100. And where she lives, this is great for her. And she can pay a car note and I think rent with that. So that's the idea. You can see here some of the tools from our resource center being used. Join, we play guitar, hear and play chords, gospel keys. You can see here other banners being used. You can, here's our resource center. I kind of showed you this is the email promotion side of things. And then what I really want to show you before I move on to content creation is some examples of these tools actually out there on MySpace and other sites. So here we are in my Griggs Trio MySpace account. There's my little daughter. And I can just type in like hearandplay.com. And let's just see, you know, we have, you know, more than 10 pages, 228 references. And, you know, just right at the top. Let's see where we can find it. Okay, here it is. Somebody wishing somebody happy birthday. But there's one of our banners, our links, our special report banner. So, you know, there's an example. Let's see. I don't know. Let's go here. This is like a gospel group, and we sell gospel products, so. I'm looking for the link. I don't know where it is. Oh, Lady D again right here. So she's putting hers everywhere, right? Let's see. This guy. Okay, he's an organist. Okay, see. Oh, here we go. Our organ course. See, so he does it for his niche. Organ keys. And I wouldn't be surprised. Well, his is very short. But he's his own, you know. He doesn't use banners, but he uses our links. Let's see, maybe the next page. Songs of Stephen. I usually look for people with piano. Okay. 40 years old, North Carolina. I can see our little red banner right here. Learn piano by ear. Okay, and we can literally just keep going. Different examples. Now, Lady D will probably be on a lot of them, tell you the truth, because she's a diehard. You know, we can go. This is a particular couple that met on our website. This is Albert and Tempe. I know them. See where they have our banner posted. Their page is so wide. Let's see. Yeah, here's our Hear and Play banner, that sense of ownership. So inviting us to check out a link at their other profile. I don't know if that's the extent. We can sure look. There's him on the piano, her. The site is breaking up here. They got so many pictures. Yeah, it's breaking up here. But I take it that's why it showed up, because of that other banner. So, I mean, we got pages and pages worth of results, and it keeps going. It doesn't stop at 15 pages. You keep going, and it gives you more and more results, you know. Just different members that are, you know, posting their banners over at MySpace. So, you know, there's our Hear and Play banner. So I just kind of want to give you a real life example that, you know, it does go really far if you get these members engaged outside of your own community. And that'll bring in members over here. That'll bring in members over here. And this is just in addition to all the other things they're doing when they're passing on their downloads and when they're inviting members via email and uploading their address book. So that's just in addition. Okay, so that'll end our customer affiliate area and our, you know, and just kind of quick glimpse of how I train them and things like that. And it really just amounts to asking them, putting up different banners in the forums. Hey, want to make money referring people to Hear and Play? Using those action pages, as we'll talk about very soon. At the top of Buddy Mail, a simple link, make money referring people to our site. So, you know, once you got the people in here, it's very easy to get them in your customer affiliate program or your referral program. Use autoresponders. When they buy your product, you know, have the first delayed response. Talk about your affiliate program. So here are some ideas. Now we're going to move on to some content creation ideas. Okay, content creation. Now, there's several ways to get your content created. And I know I've touched on this in the past a little bit, but I kind of want to give you every idea I can think of at this point, how to get content flowing through your site. And none of these ideas, or not a lot of them, are going to include you actually taking out a pen or pulling up a word processor and doing it yourself. This is how I've done it. Now, I won't say that I've been hands-free. I've written, you know, dozens and dozens of newsletters from 2000 to 2006 mid-ish. And I still write my sales letters and things like that. But in terms of getting content creation on autopilot, it isn't hard. And I'm going to give you some ideas. Obviously, if you've listened to all of my previous weeks, you know that I am a huge fan of freelance networks, outsourcing. That's how I do my things. If you've listened to my bonus software video on the audio personalizer, I mean, I'm doing this whole project hands off. No more than 2 hours of work. Everything I've recorded, and it's not even 2 hours worth, is how much I've spent on that project. Most of it is just time, you know, waiting and getting updates and replying and just waiting for the end result and tweaking it and testing it and moving forward. It's that easy. And it's the same way with content creation. So, you know, freelance networks, and we'll talk about each one of these. Craigslist, we'll talk about PLR content, what that means, RR and MRR content, and what that means. Repurposed content, probably one of those words you've heard thrown around. Partner sites, especially if you're promoting their products, is a great source for content. Wikipedia, if you check for accuracy, and there's some caveats, but that's also a great source for content. Okay, so let's start with the freelance networks. Elance is a great place, and I actually went there to get this screenshot, and I saw Timothy Ferris, who like has a number one best-selling book right now, The 4-Hour Workweek. I recommend you go pick that up. This guy like lives his whole life, or, you know, allegedly lives his whole life just in different countries, traveling, one suitcase, and everything. His whole life is just outsourced. He talks about in the book. And heck, I wish my whole life was like that too, you know, 4 hours. Now, he probably exaggerates that a little bit, you know, but that's the idea. Go to Elance, you know, post on Rent-A-Coder. Now, people will say that Rent-A-Coder is mostly for programmers, but I found writers, I found transcribers, transcriptionists. I found them all on Rent-A-Coder. Agents of Value. Now, the way Agents of Value work is a Philippine-based company. You actually hire people from the Philippines, and they all have like bachelor's or master's degrees in English in the Philippines. So it's educated group. And you hire them, they work for you, but they all come to this same office. So Agents of Value kind of staffs them, but they don't work for Agents of Value. They sort of like keep an eye or, you know, manage this group in this building, their internet, their desks and things like that. And you pay like $700 a month. And this is your own employee. They work for you 8 hours a day, whatever task you train them, all the same thing. It's just overseas. Many of my friends have found that they start with Agents of Value. They start building up. I mean, you got a staff of five for what is that, $3,500? I mean, that's like one employee. And I mean, in California, like a starting kind of employee too, in some, you know, areas that I need them. and I can get 5, 6, right? And then some people I find will go overseas and then they'll make their own office and do all the paperwork and try to get them out of agents of value. They'll use them to get them, and then they'll actually really go full time over in the Philippines because they can have a staff of like 10 to 20, 30 for like, you know, the same price it takes to have like 5, 6 people over here. And guru.com is another one. So I'm going to give you my example. I use Rent-A-Coder, and you guys maybe have seen a glimpse of this in past weeks. I got 30 articles written for $200. It averaged out to be about $6.67 per article. And here are my options, though. So don't think, you know, and these articles were 300 plus words. They each had illustrations. So they were probably 1-2 pager kind of articles. And basically here were my options. I could use articles as is. I could use articles as starting points. So I could look at these $6 articles, what I call them, or $7 articles as starting points. And I can fill in the blanks. You know, I can take each sentence. I can edit. I can add thoughts. So maybe it gets me going and I can further it out so that it's 500 or 600 words by the time I get done with it. Or then I can pass it on to somebody else who can add on to it. But these are kind of like content starters or something like that. Once I do that, I can create Wiki and let my members add to these articles. Now, Wiki is a place where people can collaborate. Basically, they can add, take away, edit, alter, modify content. So there's a lot of modules out there. You can have a programmer build you one. That's what Wikipedia is, basically. I mean, if I want to go create a topic, it'll start as a stump, I believe. There's different processes. Then other people can come and add to that topic. Like somebody made a Jermaine Griggs topic. He added to it. Now, if another fan found Wikipedia and was an active member, knew how to use it, they could go add more information that they knew about me, and it'll evolve over time. Now, that's why I said check for accuracy, because anybody can add information. But generally, it's self-governed, and you can find that, you know, if it's a popular topic or enough people contributing to it, that people, it will self-correct itself. And even when it's controversy, they have built-in things where it'll say more than one author, you know, have argued over this subject, and you can see comments about it and stuff like that. So it's very, very useful. But what I'm saying is you can have your own built into your community. This is our Piano Music Theory Wiki. Feel free to add to it. You know, you get them started or have somebody, you know, get a bunch of different articles. Let's just say dozens or maybe even hundreds of articles started. And then as activities, and you can give points and rankings for this as well. But you can have members add to it. Just write down Wiki, because there's a lot of software out there that allows you to create your own Wiki these days. This is Web 2.0. It's bringing stuff that you would have thought impossible to the common person like us in many instances. So that's one way to work it. Craigslist. You'd be surprised. You can post in various cities for free. I think it depends on how popular the city is, because then even when they charge, it's nothing compared to, you know, the job posting sites and things like that. So you can post for free in many cities. And just to give you an idea, I used Craigslist just a few months ago to find a jazz pianist who you'll see here. We're releasing this course actually right now. We're doing the pre-launch for it. I got this guy for a few $1,000. He created actually 3 courses, but we're only releasing the first course right now. We'll make probably hundreds of thousands of dollars off this course, because generally the first days of our launch, we make $30,000 to $40,000, and then it'll top, you know, it'll kind of top off, and then it'll stay consistent. And, you know, we found him off Craigslist. Go figure. And it actually came down to 2 top people, and they fought for the kind of the award, you know, who got picked. I made them do outlines. He submitted 12 pages. The other guy submitted 5 pages. Both were cool, but it just goes to show you can get content submitted, outlines submitted even before you pay. So Craigslist is a wonderful option. You might think like me, like you're the only person that can do this. I thought that too. I'm the only person that can come up with these videos, and I'm the only person. But when you know, as you get started, and you know, who knows, who knew we would have gotten into jazz? I don't really play jazz as well as I want to. I'm more of a gospel, soul, R&B, you know, funk kind of guy. But this guy's a real, real jazz artist, plays in Jazz Bakery. So who would have thought that? So we put on Craigslist, lo and behold, we had not only these 2 guys, but we had 6 people reply that were all pretty, pretty qualified. One guy couldn't play a lick, but, you know, the other 5 were cool. Now, I talked about PLR. That means private label rights. And I talked about RR or MRR, resale rights or master resale rights. And there's some nuances between these words. Now, I remember this in 98 when you bought a CD with a bunch of reports on it, how to start a lawn mowing business, and you pass them on. I remember this. Now they have all these fancy names for it. It was just called resale rights back then. But private label rights, if I could put it plain, is content you can change, repackage, reuse, resale. Okay? Generally, you're not, and this is also something that people disagree on. Some people recommend that you change PLR, private label rights content, at least 30%. Some people recommend you change it at least 70%. And it depends on the terms, because some people will say because what happens is these people create content. There's people out there that make their money selling PLR content, right? They'll probably get people off of Elance and stuff to write the content to begin with. Then there's people that are on the lazy side who don't want to do any of it. They just want to buy content. Generally, it's a reasonable price. It comes with a number of reports or articles or even full courses. And then there's software. You know, you can buy, PLR software that changes up certain sentences. It's kind of like sentence altering software. I gave an example a little bit. I wasn't too good with it, but I think this one was called Word Flood, and it lets you change up sentences. So it's basically like a thesaurus. It's taking you word for word or phrase for phrase, and you're switching words, and then it keeps a percentage. So if you're wondering where I get this 30% and this 70%, it keeps up with that, and then you just change it as much as you need to be at least 30%, at least 70%. Now, here's my personal pet peeve. I would personally never use private label write content for a paid course. That's just not me. Everything I'm going to release is going to be original. It's going to be some kind of core competency, whether it's my ability to explain things well or my, comedy when I choose to be comedic or whatever. You're going to get me, and that's what keeps people coming back. Private membership sites, people in the marketing field wonder why the average person stays for 3 months. Well, heck, if you got all this private label content out there and nothing's unique and everything's, created by other people. So for paid stuff, I'm really careful about just releasing anything because my name is connected to it and I want to, generally over deliver. Now, in terms of traffic or, to start a wiki with, or maybe some starting content for my members to add to, or just stuff that's going to be given away for free, as long as it's accurate and stuff, maybe to drive traffic, maybe to submit to article databases, maybe to create content pages, content sites, it's fine for that. Okay, that's just my pet peeve. Some people will sell PLR content, have no problem with it, add to it, maybe do it as is, but to me that's just a money maker. You're not really trying to help, because you're taking information that maybe hundreds of other people have bought PLR, I can't never say this, PLR rights to, and resale rights is the same way, although you're not generally changing it. It's already in the form that you're going to sell it, and generally you need to keep it that way, given the author credit and keeping things intact, and most of the times, and all of these have terms, so they will tell you whether you have resale rights or master resale rights. Master resale rights means that you can give other people the opportunity to have resale rights. So it's like, hey, here's resale rights for $50. Now you can sell this yourself. And those, they propagate like a virus. They're viral. So they get out there really fast. So it's not like you're unique, because you're selling everything everybody else is selling. That's when you see certain internet marketing sites, of course, that's coming with 50 bonuses. You're never going to get to them. They're reprint rights anyway. Who knows created them? And so that's when it can get a little shady. But in terms of just content, it's fine. That's the thin line for me. As long as it's not paid and I'm not putting in a course and I'm not making people pay thinking that they're going to get something fresh and different, it's fine. Now, you can use PLR content for your content centers. Like I said, for wikis, if you're going to have members come in and change it and add to it anyway and do things like that, it's great. Resellable content can also be loaded into your community center if the terms allow. Because for reprint rights, sometimes they make you have to sell it because they don't want it being given away for free, because that's undercutting all the other people who have bought resale rights if you're just going to have them out for free. So make sure you look at the terms and research this more. I won't say I'm an expert in this because some will call me stupid, but I like to create my own original content because that's what sets me apart from everybody else. But other people don't see it that way. So this isn't an option. is an option for lazy people, if you will. And some people take that. I mean, you've heard of the lazy system. What is it? Frank Kern or something. I can't remember right now, but that's not always a bad thing. Repurposed content is the next thing I want to talk about. This is when you take existing content you've already done, or maybe even PLR content or whatever you want to use, and you actually use it differently. You take it, use it in different modalities, you know, and we'll talk about this briefly. Content you can basically, well, let me go forward. Repurpose content. Most marketers aren't covering all modalities of learning. And I talk about this in my Nitty Gritty Marketing. And this applies to free content and paid content. But we're going to use it more in the free, since we're trying to build content for our communities. But also keep in mind that this applies to paid. Now, when you're thinking about repurposing content or coming up with new content from existing content, there are three basic modalities, and you already know them. You learned this in elementary school, right? There's three ways that we process information and we store information in our memory. Visual, either by seeing it if we can, auditory, hearing, and kinesthetic, by actually doing it. So you, when you're thinking about products and content, this is how I approach it. Do you have all of the modalities? Do you have all of those covered? Ebooks, yeah, those are visual, right? You know, ebooks for your membership site or, you know, products and stuff like that. Written physical courses, those are visual. But audio courses, those are auditory. And it's very easy to change one of these and one of these into one of these if you're creative. Video courses, it's very easy to change one of these into one of these. You can just extract audio. And this is what we mean by repurposing it. And how one thing, you know, maybe you're selling the videos, but you include snippets of the audios in your community site, you know, which also builds sales over time because now people are talking about it. They're downloading, they're sharing it. But at the same time, these are excerpts from your video course. You've just repurposed it to put it in your community. Teleseminars, those are auditory, but the transcripts are visual. Live seminars, hands-on, the kinesthetic type, right? The boot camps, right? The weekend getaway one-on-one coaching, that's ultra kinesthetic because you're really doing it, but you're doing it one-on-one with a coach, somebody who's been where you want to be. And remember the learning pyramid? I talked about this like the first week when I talked about remembering stuff and writing it down. I did it so that, you know, we kind of get off on the right foot, but it also has to do with products and content and development like that. Because as you remember, if you're lectured on a topic, you'll remember 5%, according to National Training Laboratories. If you read it, you'll remember 10%. If you hear it and see it, 20%. That's audiovisual. If you're demonstrated it, you'll remember 30%. If you discuss it, 50%. If you do it, if you practice it, 75%. If you teach it to others, 90%. Then we talked about it in this graphical. You know, this is a graphical. But you know what happens? Each of these are different modalities. What is that? Lecture. Okay. Generally, either, you know, you're hearing it, or maybe you're hearing it generally. Here, you're just reading it. Here, though, you're doing both. And that's why you go up a whopping 10% from the 5% and 10% here, because you're hearing it and you're seeing it. Now, you're demonstrated it. You're remembering even more. Now, when you're actually talking and you're getting involved with doing it, you're hearing it, you're discussing it, you're maybe reading it, and then when you're actually doing it and teaching others, you move down and you remember it more. Now, my guess is the more you can move down in this pyramid in your products and the content you offer, the more you'll get paid. Now, this is more for the paid side. Think about why ebooks only cost $19, but getting people in masterminds and, you know, and what are masterminds? Everybody gets up for 30 minutes and teaches each other, right? Talks about it in each other. It's this stuff down here. And whoever's a facilitator is getting paid, right? Audiovisual. That's why you pay more for your DVD courses than you do for regular ebooks and things like that. Demonstration, one-on-one coaching, you know, things like that. So remember that. Repurpose content. And, you know, and like I said, the lower on the pyramid, the more you'll get paid. So when you're talking about monetizing your community, this is very important to know. But the reason why I just wanted to bring it up, because there's many ways to take content you already have and just exponentially multiply it, if you will. I put two different mathematical things together. But a book can easily be turned into an audio. You can get somebody to read a book. You can go get public domain works that are built around your niche. You know, for me, it could be some hand in material or some exercise way back in the day, and get somebody to record them on video because they are sheet music, but they're very helpful in getting your fingers independent and strong and building up dexterity and stuff. But they're written in sheet music, and they're written like in the 1800s. I can repurpose that. It's public domain. I can use it. Have somebody or myself, if I have the time, record the actual exercises on video. So now something that was just reading at only 5%, I mean, I have to see that in front of me, or I'm not going to remember it. But now that I can see it, visualize it, and hear it, right? Okay, they'll pay me more for that. So whereas that sheet music only costs $10 in the store, I could charge $50 for this. Or, you know, I could put in my community different samples and stuff like that, which helps me sell the full course for it. Course, you can repurpose that into articles. Let's just say you have an old course, or maybe you're discontinuing, or you have a new version. Well, take chapters out of it and turn it into articles in your community or in your membership site. That can go a long way. And public domain works can be divided into different articles. You could take audio automatically. This is a given. If you're not doing this, hit yourself over the head, because audio can turn into transcripts. That's a given. I pay a lady $60 in the Philippines. She takes my hour to two audio, if it's a teleseminar or video or anything, and she'll transcribe it, you know, and I'll get it back in a few days. Now that's 50 pages of content. Generally for me, an hour will be 30 pages. I talk very fast, and this is like font 12, right? Video easily goes into audio. That's automatic. If you're only selling a DVD course, come on. Unless it's some really specific stuff you refer to, imagery and things like that, you need to be extracting that into audio, putting that on the web or samples, or submitting those to all the podcast directories like we talked about in week 3. Video in the transcripts, book in the video, interactive Camtasia, seminar in the audio video, content into membership sites. You know, like all of this can really lead up to being put in the membership site if you make it digital and you make it downloadable. You know, break this up into multiple video clips, you know, part one, part two, phase one, phase two, chapter one, volume one, you know. So I just wanted to kind of talk about that. I'll talk about that more in nitty gritty if you're interested in joining that when it's available. But at the end of the day, great way, because many people, when they create something, they don't know that it can be flipped, if you will, several different ways. And that segment is just to give you ideas, both in the paid and the free arena, because you can take paid stuff and flip it around and be free. I'll take pages out of my course, PDF it, and then send and put those in my community, and make sure I put the page number and a little advertisement on it, because that'll push people more towards my sales pages from the community. Partner sites. This is a really good way to do it, because if you're already an affiliate of somebody's and they already publish newsletters or emails or content, generally they'll let you use that content as long as you give the author credit. You can go to article databases and do the same thing. And if there isn't any published rules on this, whether you can do it or not, simply email the webmaster or affiliate manager, and I'm sure they'll be happy to answer you, and I'm sure they'll be cool with it, as long as you're referencing their site. And when you reference their site, what are you going to do? You're going to reference it through your affiliate link. So it's a win-win situation for both you guys. Plus, you're making money if they do click and go to this other site. But now you're getting free content. So the perceived value of your community, like we talked about in the beginning, if there's not enough content, people are going to leave. It's too much content. You know, there's a balance there, too. People are going to feel like they don't have anything to contribute. So you want just enough, because you want members to help you out as well. But we're talking about the burden of getting that content going from you, right? So that's one way to do it. Wikis, like I said, wikipedia.org. Now, wikis fall under the GNU free documentation license. I'm no lawyer. You know, I studied law in undergrad, but I turned internet marketer. But basically, I took this license from the web. This is what it says. The purpose of this license is to make a manual, textbook, or any other function or useful document free in the sense of freedom, to assure everyone the effective freedom to copy and redistribute it with or without modifying it, either commercially or non-commercially. Secondarily, this license preserves for the author and publisher a way to get credit for their work while not being considered responsible for modifications made by others. The license is a kind of copyleft, which is like the other side of copyright. It's the copyleft. and you can research this more, which means that derivative works of the document must themselves be free in the same sense. It complements the GNU, General Public License, which is a copyleft license designed for free software. Okay, so basically what I get out of this is you can take anything you want from Wikipedia as long as you keep it free. If it's in your community under your free section, you can use it, you can modify it, you can alter it, give the author credit if there is an author cited there, but you can use it or say you got it from this particular source. So there is a plethora of content. You just have to be careful because Wikipedia is ran by the people for the people. It's not like Encyclopedia Britannica, everything's censored and what makes it in is official. It is run by the people. So, and if your site is a community, it should also be understood that users are submitting content. And while we make every effort to, make sure everything is accurate, there are chances because this is a community and stuff like that. So just wanted to bring that up. Wikipedia, you can go there, type in almost anything, and you'll find information that millions of people, maybe hundreds of thousands, have submitted all around the world about your topic. So it's a great way. Okay, encourage user-generated content. We talked a little bit about this, but this involves increased points for submitted articles or related news stories or submitting reviews. We have a review script, and customers can pretty much submit reviews about our own products, but also other people's products. It turns into content. Worst case scenario, we'll join their affiliate program, and as I talk about, there's ways to turn certain words. When people mention certain words, I can proactively link them to certain sites. So it can be through my affiliate ID. Nobody ever knows. They're writing a review for me to get paid for it, things like that. But this is just about content. You can give special ranks for contributors, writers who maintain the content area. Give them a special, you are editor, Hear and Play editor, Hear and Play contributor. Info drives, okay, just like blood drives, canned food drives. Have a contest or a drive for people to submit their own helpful articles related to your niche or essays. You can call them essays because people are used to it be called an essay contest. It's really an article. And, you can even publish guidelines and tips for writing great articles just so they know, guidelines to follow. And basically, once you submit it, you have like a submission period time. And once you kind of get articles, they'll be posted in a particular category of your website, like contests or something. Members can go through, see what they deem helpful. They can actually vote, and the top three winners can get prizes, or the top five, or however you design the contest. But that's an idea to get a lot of content generated and build a lot of buzz and hype around it too, because now it's a contest, and the bigger the reward, the more you attract. Now if you bust out with $1,000 reward or some kind of coupon trip to Vegas or Bahamas, I probably wouldn't go that far, but the more the reward, obviously you can get people's attention and get them submitting articles. But the thing is, the articles that don't make it, they can still stay in your membership section. So you'll get a whole, category worth of content, and really only have to pay for, three of them. And it's great because you got all this content anyway. Of course, you're going to thank the other people, maybe give them one of those, backup prizes or whatever. Other content generation ideas. Things that we find we do, we turn forum posts into Q&A content. Because what are forums? Generally questions and answers. Somebody poses something or discussion or some kind of, something to talk about. And other people come on and post answers. And generally, if they're accurate and is very helpful, you will find a plethora. You'll find tons of content already in your forums that if you just pay somebody or take the time to go through and say, this is a great one. Let me copy what that person says, format it, take it to Microsoft Word, put some shading behind it. And now these can become articles. These can become PDF documents. This can become content for your courses. Many people, if they're not looking at their forum for all the product ideas that they could ever come up with or having problems, keeping up with product development or even having ideas for products, it's in your form. Definitely. They're talking about it already. They just need somebody to come and have a solution to their problems. And many times, if you have a really active form, you can create repurpose, if you will, content from your form. Another thing along those same lines is that you can summarize helpful form topics in a newly created article. So, basically you can take certain forum topics and just summarize them. Certain member David D'Angelo does this in Double Your Dating. I don't know if these questions really come from the members or, you know, if they're made up or whatnot, but every once in a while, quite often, actually, you'll get an email from him with a question from a member, kind of like Ask Jillian in Fox LA. This is the LA news show in the morning. And she'll, you know, she'll get a question and then she'll go and answer it. But pretty much, you know, content is created in that sense. And it's much easier to answer a question when you're creating some kind of report or newsletter than it is to do something from scratch and have to worry about an opening paragraph and really being formal with it. Cause it's almost like you're talking, you're more conditioned to reply to something. If this is yourself having to come up with this content, you're more conditioned to reply to something. If I said, how do I do this? How, you know, what are the steps to driving? You can say, well, Jermaine, I mean, rather than having to come up with all the elements of what you might think are a tutorial. So you can take form topics, Q&As, and summarize them, creating a whole new article itself. Save chat room transcripts. Remember I talked about interaction, how we do chat rooms? Well, you can save transcripts. Another thing now, I will admit, I'm yet to do this, but what if you, and I don't know how this would work, but what if you took Camtasia and had it record your screen while you were in a chat from your perspective, watching you type, watching you see the others, and people could actually, I guess, see your chat all over again. Now, they won't be able to engage in it or type back, but they can see you typing from your end and saying, and maybe the jokes you're cracking and other people typing. So it's almost like your live form event being rebroadcasted. I thought that was interesting. Of course, you can copy and paste the whole form or go with some kind of chat software that automatically exports the transcripts at the end or saves it or something, you know, and then you can take topics out of that because generally more often than not, chat sessions have a bunch of subtopics that are covered because live members will ask questions and you can't really cover them because you don't have enough time. So you need to jot those down. So content, when you have all this interactivity, basically what I'm trying to say, is generally not an issue if you have a good number of members, you know, you got that basic active user base going. It's not hard because you can hold events, forum topics or content. You can pay people. You can have contests. It's all about creativity in Web 2.0. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about some of the tools I use to test and track not only my community, but all of my other websites and my internet marketing ventures.